Black Bible provided under the seat, hopefully in front of you. We begin a study out of the book of Jeremiah on Wednesday nights tonight. Jeremiah was not a bullfrog, as the song goes. Jeremiah was a prophet, a very dear prophet. And his story is a very wonderful story. And this book, I believe, is a very timely book for us to look at, considering the day and age in which we live. So Jeremiah chapter 1, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the example of Jeremiah. We thank you that he was not afraid to stand for the truth in a society that shunned truth. That he was a man who was not afraid to shine in a dark society. Lord, that he had courage to follow you even when it looked real scary. And Lord, that he maintained a beautiful sensitivity in his heart towards other people. Father, I pray that that would be so for all of us tonight as your people, living in this day and age, which we do. Encourage us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1 serves as an introduction for the entire book of Jeremiah. It's in this chapter that we meet Jeremiah. We sort of get his bio, his background. We learn his story. It's here that we also read about God's calling upon his life into the ministry as a prophet. And it's here that we get a general sense of the mission that God called Jeremiah to and the message that God called Jeremiah to proclaim. Let's start first with his bio, his background, his story. Who was this guy named Jeremiah? Well, look at verse 1 of Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests, who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive." In the fifth month. There are several things that we learn about Jeremiah here. First, we learn that he was born and raised in a real little town called Anathoth. Anathoth was a small village located 3 miles north of Jerusalem. In this village where Jeremiah grew up, he could have seen the capital city of Jerusalem. He could have looked upon the walls around Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem. He could have visited the city of Jerusalem daily. And you'll see in this book that Jerusalem held a very special place in Jeremiah's heart. Jeremiah loved Jerusalem, just like any of the other Jews would have in that time. Notice also that Jeremiah was a preacher's kid, so to speak. Verse 1 says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah of the," what? The priests. His dad, Hilkiah, was a priest. His dad would have served in the temple there in Jerusalem as a priest. And so understand this, Jeremiah would have grown up thinking that he himself would be a priest when he became older. He would have grown up training to be a priest. That's the career that he would take. He would follow in his dad's footsteps. But God threw him a curveball. Jeremiah, growing up thinking he was going to priest, God called him instead to be a prophet. And so instead of training for the priesthood, he would become a prophet. And that was a curveball. Has God ever thrown a curveball at you? Anybody here ever had God throw a curveball to you? He does that to us, doesn't he? I mean, I think of my life, I was studying to be an electrical engineer. 5 years at New Mexico State, got my electrical engineering degree, honor graduate. Out of college, I worked for IBM, and then God called me to be a pastor. Let me just tell you this, when God throws you a curveball, go with it. Don't fight against it. Just receive it. Jeremiah thought he was going to be a priest, but God called him to be a prophet. Now, notice also that Jeremiah would have a long career as a prophet. In fact, Jeremiah served for a little over 4 decades as a prophet. 45 years, some say even 50 years. That's a long time to serve. I want you to notice the kings that are mentioned in verses 2 and 3. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in the days of Josiah, king of Judah. Verse 3, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah. 3 kings are mentioned there. And by the way, there's actually 2 other kings that reigned at that time, but they're not mentioned because they only had 3-month reigns. But understand this, Jeremiah served, ministered as a prophet during the reigns of the last 5 kings of Judah. So 45 to 50 years. And that's where the story really becomes interesting. The last kings of Judah. Jeremiah was called to serve as a prophet in the darkest days of his nation. He was called to serve as a prophet in the twilight years of his nation. He started with Josiah as the king. Josiah was the last good king of Judah. All the other kings after that were train wrecks. Jeremiah, when he serves as a prophet, saw his nation get worse and worse and worse and worse. And it says that he prophesied at the end of verse 3, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive. Jeremiah witnessed the destruction of his nation. He saw the walls of Jerusalem torn down. He saw the temple torn down. Jeremiah witnessed the mass execution and deportation of Jews. He saw the Babylonians come and take over his land. So he lived in a time where he saw his nation get worse and worse and worse and worse and eventually wiped out. Tough period of time. Imagine if God calls you to be a prophet and he tells you in advance, in about 45 years, the United States of America is going down. Your nation is going to be destroyed. It's going to be overtaken by a foreign power. You're my prophet. I want you to go throughout the nation and I want you to talk to the leaders, the senators, the congressmen, the governors, the president, the priests, the pastors. Get the word out. Warn people. Judgment's coming. And you go out and you warn, and for 45 years you are ignored. You are rejected. You are ridiculed. And eventually, the nation collapses. That's Jeremiah's story. That's when he was called to be a prophet. That's what he faced. Now, we also know that Jeremiah was called to be a prophet at a young age. Most Bible scholars believe that Jeremiah was, get this, a teenager. He was a teenager when he was called to be a prophet. A teenager. Man, those are the strangest people on the planet, aren't they? Teenagers? Those teenagers that don't do their homework? They don't know how to dress? God called Jeremiah as a teenager. And you know, if you look in the Bible, God did amazing things with teenagers. He called Jeremiah as a teenager. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went to Babylon as teenagers. David defeated Goliath as a teenager. Esther won a beauty contest and became the queen of Persia as a teenager. Mary, in the New Testament, as a teenager, was told by the angel, you're going to be the mother of Messiah. Don't underestimate what God can do with teenagers. I love it when God gets a hold of a teenager's heart. I pray for Daniel and the workers over there in that youth group all the time. Parents of teenagers, don't give up on your teenager. God can do amazing things, but pray that God would get their hearts. But let me tell you, that's a tall task for a teenager. I'm going to send you as a prophet to the nation of Judah and all the other nations, and you're going to proclaim my word. You're going to warn them. That is a tall order. It was something that was going to be very, very hard for Jeremiah. Now, another reason that this was going to be very, very hard for Jeremiah was because of his demeanor. We know a lot about Jeremiah. We know that Jeremiah was a very sensitive man. We know that he was very emotional. We know that he was timid. He was easily intimidated. He did not like controversy. We know that Jeremiah was a crier. In fact, the nickname for Jeremiah is the weeping prophet or the prophet of a broken heart. Very tender man, very sensitive man. Tradition says that he began wailing the moment he was born. Michelangelo painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. He presented Jeremiah in a posture of despair. He looks like a man who has wept so long that he has no tears left to shed. His face is turned to one side like a man who's been battered by many blows. His shoulders are hunched forward, weighed down by the sins of Judah. His eyes also are cast down as if he can no longer bear to see God's people suffer. His hand covers his mouth. Perhaps in the painting, he has nothing left to say. Young man, tender man, a heart that would break so easily, and he shed many tears. He wept over the condition of his nation. He wept over the sin in his nation. He wept over the suffering that his people would experience. He wept over the suffering that they began to experience. And he witnessed in his lifetime. It broke his heart. He also wept over how he was treated as a prophet. You're going to find out that Jeremiah was a very lonely prophet. Jeremiah prophesied for 45 years, and we have no record of any real convert. Can you imagine preaching for 45 years and you don't have a convert? We find out that Jeremiah was mocked and ridiculed by the kings he was sent to speak to, by the leaders, by the priests, his family, by other prophets, who, by the way, were actually false prophets. Jeremiah was rejected by his family. Jeremiah was rejected by his friends. Jeremiah was not allowed to marry. He never had a wife, and he never had any children. There's really only one guy in the whole book that is mentioned as a friend to Jeremiah, a guy by the name of Baruch. We'll meet him later. He cried. He wept. It was tough. And yet God called him. Called that man. Here's a guy who doesn't look qualified. He's a teenager, for crying out loud. Here's a guy who doesn't have the personality that seemed to match the message of judgment and warning that he was supposed to bring. And here's a guy who didn't have a whole lot of success, it would seem, from the outside. But Jeremiah was faithful in his generation. Jeremiah was faithful to his God. Wonderful, wonderful man of God. Let's see how he was called. Look now at his calling. Look at verse 4. Jeremiah writing, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Verse 6, "Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." What's he doing? You got the wrong guy, man. Not me. Verse 7, "But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth." So there Jeremiah is. He's a teenager. It's an ordinary day. Perhaps he's out messing around in the neighborhood. And the word of the Lord came to him. God met Jeremiah, and God called Jeremiah. And it's really amazing what he says to Jeremiah. "Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah, before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah, my call is upon your life. You are going to be a prophet. This has been in my plan and my purpose for your life. And I knew it even before you were conceived. Even before you were being knit in your mother's womb. Even before you were born. By the way, when does life begin? Does life begin at birth? Does life begin in the third trimester? Second trimester? First trimester? When does life begin? Conception. God said, "I formed you in the womb. I knew you before." In fact, I would argue that life begins even before conception, at least in the mind of God. God knew Jeremiah before. God had it all planned out before. Now, I think one of the grievous, most grievous, horrible sins of the human race ever is abortion. All of those lives that have been destroyed. And I believe as Christians, we should be standing for life in the womb. Amen. It's a person. There's life there. There's potential. God knew exactly what he was going to do with Jeremiah. And he told Jeremiah, "I've called you to be my prophet." Now, folks, listen. When God calls you, you're going to know it. Clearly, Jeremiah knew that this was the Lord, and Jeremiah knew that God's calling was upon his life. I personally believe that Jeremiah had a vision here. I believe that he was ushered into the throne room of God, and he had a vision of God, much like Isaiah did. Remember how Isaiah, when he was called, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He was into the throne room. Remember, he's, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips," and he drops. And you remember in that vision, God touches his lips. And I see God touching Jeremiah's lips right here in verse 9. This was a dramatic event in Jeremiah's life. He saw the Lord, and the Lord called him. Now, Christian, listen. I believe that God has called all of us. I believe we have all been called. If you are a Christian here tonight, God's calling is upon you. And please understand, when God calls you, when he puts a calling upon your life, it is going to be unmistakable. You're going to know. There was a time in my life where the call of God came upon my life. Now, I wasn't given an Isaiah-like experience or a Jeremiah experience. It happens differently, but you are going to know. For me, I was at a church service. We just had a time of worship. We were having a Bible study. It was a Bible study on Abraham and how Abraham had been called to be a blessing. And the Holy Spirit tugged at my heart that service. And the Holy Spirit told me clear, "I've called you to be a pastor. I've called you to plant a church." I heard it. It was unmistakable. And then it unfolded gradually as I went out and tried and taught Bible studies and sought the Lord. Please understand, Christian, there is a calling on every one of our lives as Christians, and the calling will be unmistakable. You'll know what God has called you to do. The only Christians I think that don't know what they're called to do are the ones who really don't give a rip. And you know, there are a lot of Christians like that. They've just gotten saved, and then the rest of their life is all about them. They don't even care. How sad. How sad. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Of all Christians, you are my workmanship, created for good works, which I prepared beforehand for you to walk in." There's a calling on every one of our lives. Now you might say, "Well, I want to know what my calling is. What am I supposed to do?" Well, if you don't know yet, do what you know you should do right now. And you know what you should do as a Christian? Spend time with the Lord every day. Read the Word. Pray. Seek His face. Be involved in church. Serve. Fellowship. Try. Look. Seek the Lord. God will show you. He will show you. You will discover where you fit in the body of Christ. You will discover whether or not you're going to be a mouthpiece, a prophet, a preacher, maybe someone behind the scenes. You'll discover whether God has called you to be a leader in the church. You will discover what your gifts are and where you are to function. I promise you, and it will be unmistakable. Seek him. Jeremiah, he knew. God has called me to be a prophet. I'm going to spend the next 45 years of my life being a prophet. Now, he was reluctant, wasn't he? Verse 6, he does say, "O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a youth." That's reluctance. And he's saying, "I'm a teenager. Who's going to listen to me? Who's going to take me seriously? God, I can't speak." Remember Moses pulled that same excuse? You remember when Moses was at the burning bush
And God said, you go to Pharaoh. And Moses said, I can't speak.
There's reluctance here. There's a good sense here, and there's a bad sense. You can look at the reluctance of Jeremiah in a good sense. This is humility. I mean, here's a guy who's truly saying, you want me to be what? And he's thinking to himself, I am a teenager. I'm young. I'm inexperienced. Maybe he didn't have good oratory skills. And he's literally thinking, Lord, who am I? And that is a good thing to have. Every man or woman of God that is used greatly by God has this sense, why me? Who am I? You know, if God puts a call upon your life and you're like, good choice, God. I'm your man. I'm going to be the greatest prophet you've ever had. You can count on me. That's not so good, is it? So in this reluctance, you can see some humility. Me? Who am I? But on the other hand, in the bad sense, he's not acting in faith here, is he? He needs to be prepared to step out in faith no matter how he might feel. Listen, if God calls you to a work, you obey him. And you step out in faith. I believe every calling upon a Christian's life will require a step of faith. It was a step of faith for me to leave Albuquerque and move to El Paso. It was a step of faith for my wife and I. If God calls you to something, you better obey him. Have faith in him. Move out. Try it. Now, I love how God responds to this reluctance. Verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth. Keep your excuses to yourself. Don't tell me you're a teenager. You shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Listen, when God calls you to something and it looks scary and you're wondering, do it and understand that when God calls you to a work, he doesn't leave you to yourself. When God calls you to a work, he's going to be with you. He tells young Jeremiah, look, it's going to be difficult, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be your protection. I love what he tells Jeremiah there. He says, do not be afraid of their what? Their faces. That has been a very special verse to me over the years. Because you see, I'm a preacher and I see a lot of faces. And I have brought many preacher friends to this verse. Jeremiah was called to speak publicly to people, and he would see a lot of faces. I've seen a lot of faces. Sometimes I see faces that are sleepy. Sometimes there are faces that are friendly. I like those faces. If you see me looking in your eyes a lot during the sermons here, it's because you're a friendly. You got a friendly face. And then I have also seen hostile faces. I've been speaking to a crowd and I've watched somebody go. I've had people get up and walk out.
I've had people shake their head. And I'll tell you, early on, that really used to bother me. All those faces used to bother me. But you know what? I'm not afraid of faces. God has said, don't be afraid of their faces. Just preach the word. That's what he told Jeremiah. This is what I've called you to do. I've given you a message. You're going to go talk to lots of people. Don't you be afraid of their faces. And then look what he does in verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I can't talk. I don't know what to say. God says, I'm going to give you what to say. I'll touch your mouth. Don't worry about it. Listen, your calling from God will also be your enabling. When God shows you what he wants you to do specifically in his kingdom, he's going to enable you. You may feel very, oh, I'm not sure, but God will equip you. God will gift you. Something I heard years ago that's always been such an encouragement to me. Listen, God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. If God has called you to a work, he's going to qualify you. He's going to use you. He's going to gift you. Step out. Jeremiah did. All right, let's get just a quick general sense of what God called Jeremiah to do, his mission, his message. Look at verse 10. He says to Jeremiah, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Understand something very important about the message that Jeremiah was supposed to preach and the mission. His message was a two-pronged message that worked together. First, he was sent by God to bring a message of destruction. It says there, I'm sending you to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. How would you like to have that as your mission task? I'm sending you to the nations. You're going to talk to presidents, all these different peoples, and my message is intended to destroy them, to root them out. God is saying, Jeremiah, there's an element to your message that is going to destroy people. And after they've been destroyed, after you've delivered the message of destruction, you're going to deliver a message of construction. Because you're also going to build and you're going to plant. I'm sending you into your generation. And you need to destroy people. And then after you've destroyed people, build them up. Plant them. Now, how in the world was that going to work? Well, you see, Jeremiah's society in which he lived, filled with sin, filled with wickedness. The people were utterly against God. They were rebelling against God. And the people, they thought they were okay with God because they were religious. They did all of these rituals and all of this. They played church. And they had their little props. They said, I'm okay with God. Jeremiah was sent to destroy their props. Wipe them out. You're not all right with God. You are a sinner. Your religion won't help you. You're not good enough. And then after he leveled them, point them to God. Faith in God. Plant. Build. Now, I think that is exactly how the gospel message should be preached. I think there is a two-prong element to preaching the gospel. When you're sharing the gospel, there is a sense that you first need to destroy a person. You have to uproot. Because there's people in our society, they think, I don't need Christ. I'm not a sinner.
I'm religious. I'm good enough. I lived a better life than Charles Manson. I don't need God. And what you have to do as a Christian when you're witnessing is you have to destroy that. You have to tear that down. No, you are a sinner. You are not perfect. You are lost. You need help. And then after you get them to that level, you tell them about Jesus and how they can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did for them. You tear down and you build up. That's the gospel message. Now, if you're out there sharing the gospel, please understand that you need both the destruction and the construction. You don't be extreme in one end. I know some Christians that are really into the destruction part of the message, and they're like Christian terminators. They're like the gospel Gestapo. They go and they tell you, wretched sinner, turn or burn, you filthy wretch. And they're just into that. You know, when you share that part of the message with people, be like Jeremiah the weeping prophet. Be sensitive. Cry. Don't say things like that with glee. You sinner. Share the bad news. And then share the good news. Now, on the other hand, there are some Christians where it's all about the construction. God loves you. God loves everybody. You can do whatever you want. Just come to Jesus. Do anything. And a lot of Christians, they witness, and they forget to tell the bad news. Listen, you got to tell the bad news before you can give them the good news. There's a rooting out. There's a tearing down before there's a planting and a building up. Don't be afraid to do both. Both are necessary. Folks, that's how God saves a person. First tearing them down, then building them up. I'm reminded of what the prophet Hosea said in Hosea chapter 6. He said, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up." This is the message that Jeremiah was to preach. Now look at a couple of visions that he was given. Verse 11. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Jeremiah, what do you see?' And I said, 'I see a branch of an almond tree.' Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word.'" Jeremiah, what do you see? And he saw the branch of an almond tree. And the idea is he saw an almond tree budding. He saw an almond tree blossoming. Now you need to know something. In Israel, the almond tree is the first thing that buds, showing that spring is coming. So people are always looking for the almond tree. And is it going to bud? And when it buds, everyone knows, okay, spring is here. Okay, what God is saying to Jeremiah is, Jeremiah, you are prophesying in a very strategic time. My word is budding. I have been warning my nation for hundreds of years. I've been sending prophets. I've been telling them that they need to return to me. They haven't responded. Now, my promises of judgment, my prophecies concerning judgment are about to be fulfilled. Jeremiah, you live in the last days. Jeremiah, you're like the last chance. Speak up, speak out. Look at this other vision. Verse 13. "And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see a boiling pot and it is facing away from the north. So Jeremiah sees, and in my mind, I think it's a giant pot, and it's filled with boiling water, and it's tipping over. Boiling water is about to be poured out from the north on his nation. Have you guys been to those water parks where they have those giant buckets? It's like a little part of the park where the kids play, and there's slides, and you can walk around. And in some of these parks, there's a giant bucket at the top that's filling up with water. And when it fills up, it tips. And you get under, and it's awesome, man. It's a flood. I mean, it is really cool. Now, if that bucket was holding boiling water, not so good. And that's kind of what Jeremiah sees, this giant pot, boiling water, tipping towards his nation from the north. The Lord explains that, verse 14. Then the Lord said to me, out of the what? North. Calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land, for behold, I'm calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. This is the judgment that's coming. Foreign powers from the north, like Babylon and Assyria, are coming. Jeremiah, I'm about to pour out judgment upon my own nation. I'm bringing Babylon. They're coming, and they're going to take out the city. And this is the message that Jeremiah is supposed to preach. And he's supposed to go tell this message to the kings and the priests and the leaders. So God says to him in verse 17, I love this. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise. Loose Terry Gray paraphrase, man up. Therefore, man up. Speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces again, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you, Jeremiah, this day, a fortified city, an iron pillar, bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. You're going to fight. Here's your ministry. Jeremiah, you're going to go fight with princes, kings. You're going to give this message. It's going to be strong. People are going to resist. You're going to be seen as the crazy doomsday prophet. But go. Even if everybody thinks you're crazy, go. I'm going to make you a pillar, man. Bronze walls. A fort. You go. I'll be with you. I want to make just a few applications to us as Christians tonight from all of this. If you are a Christian here tonight, I want you to know something. I want you to know that God knows you. And God has known you. God knew you before you were born. Amen? Understand how special that is. And I want you to also understand that God has called you. And you need to find that calling. And you need to be courageous in it. And I want you to understand something about God's calling upon your life. It may not be easy. It may not be a calling that you feel qualified for. You'd be like Jeremiah.
I can't talk.
It may not be a calling that you think even matches your personality. But if God's called you to it and you find it, you go for it. And you know what? I find that God oftentimes calls us into places where we're uncomfortable so that we'll depend upon him. And then God uses us. And who gets all the glory? God. Understand this also about the calling of God upon your life. When you discover what God's calling upon your life is, don't expect an easy road. Just because you've been called to a work doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing. Jeremiah faced tremendous obstacles, shed many tears. But the Lord will be with you. The Lord will use you. And I do believe that as Christians, we are living in a very dark period of history. I believe that the world in which we live is much like the world in which Jeremiah lived. I believe that the clock is ticking. I believe that we're in the twilight years. Jesus told a parable to his disciples in Matthew 24 about another tree that bloomed, the fig tree. He said, when you see figs on the tree, you know that summer's near. And then he went on to list a whole number of signs that if you see happening on the planet, you know you're at the end. And we've talked about these signs, and I see all kinds of signs. I see, man, the almond tree has budded, the fig tree has budded. And we live in a very dark society. The rapture is coming. The judgment of God will be poured out. This generation could be the last chance. The opposition against Christians and Christian truth is at an all-time high. Look all over the news. Look at it. And as a Christian, you are going to be tempted to lay low. Don't lay low. Stand for truth. Speak the truth. Live out loud. Be ready to share the gospel message with people. Both parts. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that all of us as your people would have the courage of a Jeremiah. Lord, you're calling all of us to serve you, all of us. And I pray, Father, that you would strip away all the excuses we've used. All the excuses that, well, I can't do anything. Or I'm not talented. Or I'm just too afraid. Or I don't have that right personality. Lord, take away all those excuses. I pray that as your people, we would simply trust you. Move out in faith. And Lord, that we would see you enable our lives and use us. I pray that we'd be strong and courageous. Lord, I pray that we would be salt on this earth. As long as we're here, Lord, that we would be light, your light. Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ here tonight who are timid, who are afraid. God, I pray, Lord, lift them up. Give them strength. Give them faith. Lord, use them. I pray that every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ would know your calling. Make it clear, make it plain. Lord, we look for your protection and your anointing upon our lives. We praise you, Lord. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may these things be true in our lives as your people in this day. In Jesus' name, amen.